Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power. Whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
In the precious blood
of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Sunday morning to you. Often I will ask a young person what they want to be when they grow up. What might be your line of study? What interests you? For what do you have a burden? Sometimes we want to be like another person. So that causes us to ask the question, well, who are your heroes? Who our heroes are very, very important because we want to choose one who honors the Lord, someone who will inspire us and one that we can trust to mentor us so that we can be the person that God wants us to be. We accept Jesus as an absolute perfect man. During his life on earth, neither his critics nor his friends found anything for which they might truthfully accuse him. The good characteristics of all good men are found perfected in Jesus Christ. No man ever lived as good as we believe Jesus lived, yet many stand out as great examples to us. We believe that Jesus had as much zeal as Jehu, possessed humility known only to himself, had the patience of Job, was as faithful as Abraham, possessed as much love as John, possessed the wisdom of Solomon, practiced the holiness of Paul, the power of Peter, and had the faith of Elijah. I have mentioned the highest characteristics in the lives of 9 outstanding men of the Bible, including Christ himself. The only one of all these men who possessed all of these characteristics and more, of course, was Jesus Christ. So I'd like for you to stay tuned with us today on this broadcast, Missionary Echoes, this Sunday morning, because in a little while, I want to talk about the 9 characteristics, these high points that these men possess that I have mentioned that are worth our driving for, striving for, yearning to be like them. So it's an important subject that we want to try and cover today and inspire you. So stay tuned as we enjoy these 30 minutes together here on Missionary Echoes.
Missionary Echoes.
Lord, I praise you that you are a mighty fortress, our safety, our shelter in the time of storm, our refuge from the onslaught of the enemy. We worship you this morning. We thank you for this Lord's Day. We pray that this day will be a day of honor and love and respect to the eternal God, reverencing his day, reverencing his house, rejoicing in his presence, worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, fellowshipping with other believers, learning from your word, expressing ourselves to him and to each other, singing psalms and hymns and singing praise to his name. We pray that this will be a wonderful day of worship. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to minister here on the broadcast this morning to an untold number of individuals out there. You know those tuning in today. You know the concerns on their hearts, the burdens they may be bearing, the frustrations they may be experiencing, the passion that they have, the desires that are upon their heart today to live for Jesus and to be victorious over sin, to be effective in their witness for you. I pray that we may be able to come alongside of them, to encourage them, to equip them, and to strengthen them in the things of God. May this time that we share together be profitable to all. And we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a quiet place far from the rapid pace where God can soothe my troubled mind.
You know, those quiet places, those quiet moments with the Lord sure do bring comfort and strength and renewal for us to face whatever we might be facing in life. And so I trust that you find time alone with him in prayer, and perhaps even for this day, someone has been praying, maybe fasting, interceding, trusting God to come and meet with us and to help us in a special way. Well, this is Missionary Echoes brought to you by the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, located at 2127 Hill Street. We are about to begin Sunday school this morning at 9:30, morning worship service at 10:30, the service tonight at 6 o'clock. A special day. Who knows what all will take place, because I am actually away today in the country of Belize preaching a revival meeting. We'll be finishing up tonight and heading back home tomorrow, but this morning, Reverend Scott Loper will be preaching, and tonight there will be special guests at our church, the Penview Praise Singers and Blake Cassidy. Blake will be preaching tonight. The Praise Singers, the quartet from Penview, will be singing in the service tonight. You'll not want to miss it, all beginning at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night prayer meeting service. Lord willing, I'll be home and handling that service myself. And always a number of things happening at our church. We welcome you to come and be a part of it. Certainly pray for us. And we pray for you that you're doing well today and that God will guide your steps throughout this coming week. We appreciate you joining us here for Missionary Echoes, and we encourage you to stay tuned as we finish out the broadcast with some more songs and a message from God's Word.
A lifetime of regret and a longing for the things you didn't get. The path you chose took you away, and now you think it's just too late. But above all circumstances is a God of second chances. His love can reach to where you are. No matter how you're living, your past can be forgiven. There's nothing left to do but run into His arms. Your soul feels torn apart, and you've cut yourself off from your heart. You think that it's too late to pray. You're all alone, you lost your way. Above all circumstances is a God of second chances. His love can reach to where you are. No matter how you're living, your past can be forgiven. There's nothing left to do but run into His arms. You think it's impossible, but His love is unstoppable. It's really big, but not too big for Him. 'Cause above all circumstances, He is the God of second chances. His love can reach to where you are. No matter how you live in, your past can be forgiven. There's nothing left to do but run into His arms. As above all circumstances, second chances, His love can reach to where you are. No matter how you're living, your past can be forgiven. There's nothing left to do but run into His arms. There's nothing left to do but run into
Indeed, God can keep us above all circumstances. Thank you, Penview Praise Singers. From Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." The Apostle Paul said that he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and advised that all who are perfect be thus minded. That word perfect can scare us a little bit, especially in light of the imperfect world in which we live. Young people begin to discover that all is not perfect in their world, so it is important for us to discover what Paul meant by his use of the word. In verse 12, he used it in reference to what we shall experience in heaven, a distant goal to which he pressed. Here he speaks of another perfection. It is relative and applicable to the Christian's daily walk and capable of achievement by all who receive the gift of new life in Christ. John Wesley called this experience Christian perfection. To be perfect in this sense does not mean the full consummation of human powers, but rather a perfection of the motives of the heart, so as to love God supremely. It is close to what Paul describes as having the mind which was also in Christ Jesus in chapter 2 and verse 5. Now that I am even interested in. Those who have a truly perfect heart realize how much they still need to grow in Christ. While the event of heart holiness is a crisis moment, the growth in grace is lifelong. He's still working on me, the song says, to make me what I ought to be. Until we reach heaven, there's always room to grow. Recognition of that is evidence of a heart and will fully surrendered to the perfect will of God. Let us make as our aim the high characteristics in the lives of these 9 men that we will highlight. The first one is called the zeal of Jehu. We read of it in 2 Kings chapter 10. Have you ever ridden with a Jehu? He drove furiously, the Bible says. When such a spirited soul is harnessed and controlled by the Holy Spirit, you know something? They can get a lot done for God. The zeal of Jehu. He invited Jehonadab into his chariot and said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." He slew all of Ahab's great men and all of the house of Ahab. He slew the prophets of Baal and the house of Baal. He broke down the images and the house of Baal. May God give us some young people with the zeal of Jehu, those who are not afraid to go on the offensive for God. We must not just defend what we believe, we must aggressively pursue new territory for the Lord. The second one is the humility of Christ. He was resigned to the Father's will. Jesus said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He was resigned to the Father's will. He was also forgiving. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he said from the cross. Then I noticed that he reviled not, nor threatened. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read these words, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." In Isaiah 53, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth." May God give us some young people who can so humbly submit to the Father's will. Third one is Job, the patience of Job, right? James 5:11 says, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Patience was good after the first trial. Job's family had just been taken from him, all but his wife. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. It was good after the first trial. Job's patience was still good after the second test. Satan had just stricken him with sore boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Job's wife had just told him to curse God and die. But he said to her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? It's a tall order to have the patience of Job, but may God give us some young people who are up to the challenge. Take the risk and pray for patience. The next one is Abraham. I think we could call it the faithfulness of Abraham for number 4. "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham," we read in Galatians 3:9. He was faithful in offering his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. He was faithful in paying his tithes, as we read in Genesis chapter 14. Abraham gave 100% of all the goods, all the spoil he obtained when he rescued his nephew Lot. His nephew had been taken captive during the battle of the kings, the 4 against 5. He was faithful when called upon to leave his own country and people. He was just as faithful in the things that he did not want to do as he was in the things that he wanted to do. And such faithfulness is a key quality that is needed in every young person. Number 5, aim to have the love of John. John often referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was of a lovable disposition. Christ especially loved him and willed to John the care of his own mother. We read in John chapter 19. Love was the theme of his letter known as 1 John. Read his first epistle. It is love, love, love. Chapter 2 and verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Chapter 3 and verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Chapter 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. John lived to a ripe old age in the city of Ephesus, and it is said that when he was too feeble to stand and talk, they would carry him to the church, and he would sit in a chair and say, "Little children, love one another." And it was he who recorded those words of Jesus in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the golden text of the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in John 13:35, he said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Let us all aim to have the love of John. Like the Air Force, let's aim high. Number 6, aim for the wisdom of Solomon. God gave him a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like Solomon before him nor since. God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Solomon asked God for wisdom. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God granted Solomon's unselfish prayer, and such speech still pleases him today. The gift of wisdom is needed. Wisdom is one of the 9 spiritual gifts which God has promised to the church. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. From James chapter 1, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." Oh, my friend, do not be afraid to ask for wisdom. Number 7, let us develop the faith of Elijah. From 1 Kings chapter 18, on Mount Carmel he prayed down fire from heaven. Later with his servant he was praying for rain, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand, and he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." Oh, I love that faith. Elijah had prayed 6 times without any sign of rain. After the 7th time, he was given a small sign, but that was enough. The prophet took the rest by faith and sent the king word to prepare, for the rain was coming. There was an abundance of rain that was coming. It takes great signs to satisfy little faith, but a little evidence is enough for great faith. Sometimes we just have to choose to believe God, regardless of the evidence. Number 8, how about we drive for the holiness of Paul? He was free from the law of sin and death. He said the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ had made him free. Instead of having the law in my members warring against the law of my mind, he now has been set free by another law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. One law destroyed all that was good. The other destroyed all that was wicked. Just as the law of tides that come in and lift up and set free the ship that is aground, held by the law of gravitation, so comes in the law of the life in Christ and sets one free from the law of sin and death. I say hallelujah. He had his body under subjection. The life of holiness involves a disciplined life. Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Paul had a thorn in the flesh, the adversary, the devil, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. But Paul chose to do what was right. He refused to entertain the thoughts that Satan would put in his mind. He refused to yield to temptation, and he lived free of condemnation. He walked not after the things of the flesh, but after the Spirit. He declared himself free from the law of sin and death. The flesh must be subdued. The will and selfish purposes of man must be brought under subjection and forced to obey the Spirit. Oh, my friend, pursue a pure and holy heart. And finally, let us tarry for the power of Peter. He had healing power. Peter had so much of the power of God on him that people brought their sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. He had soul-saving power. He stood up and preached under the anointing power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and about 3,000 souls were swept into the kingdom of God that day. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We have a lack of souls because we have a lack of power. Oh, may we all seek and tarry for the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives so that we may have an effective ministry for the glory of God. The characteristics of these great men are essential to a Bible experience. We would do well to strive for these 9 high points on our spiritual journey. The zeal of Jehu, the humility of Christ, the patience of Job, the faithfulness of Abraham, the love of John, the wisdom of Solomon, the faith of Elijah, the holiness of Paul, and the power of Peter. God bless you, my friend, as you strive for these.
I'm happy in the Lord anyway, and it really doesn't matter what comes my way. Today I've got a worse smile, hold my head up high and say, I'm happy in the Lord anyway. A storm is raging in my life right now, but to Satan's oppression I refuse to bow. I'm gonna say to him, get thee behind me today. I'll be happy in the Lord anyway. I'm happy in the Lord anyway, and it really doesn't matter what comes my way. Today I'm gonna wear a smile, hold my head up high and say, I'm happy in the Lord anyway. You know, oh, Satan will try to get you down, 'cause he just likes to take your smile and turn it upside down. But through Christ we have the power to send him on his way. We can be happy in the Lord anyway. I'm happy in the Lord anyway, and it really doesn't matter what comes my way. Today I'm gonna wear a smile, hold my head up high and say, I'm happy in the Lord. Happy, 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 happy.